Sadly, lives have
dozens
been lost.
Falling ill with a mysterious virus that would ultimately change
the temperatures.
The coronavirus presents a public health emergency.
This is the Make the Choice podcast, a series that provides a safe place for discussion on vaccine hesitancy, something that has caused a lot of confusion and division among mob in our community. A collaboration between the state Indigenous Health and Indigenous media peak bodies in Queensland. The Make the Choice podcast, where we find the answers to the questions our mob have around the COVID-19 vaccine. This is the Make the Choice podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast where we're discussing all things COVID-19 here in Queensland, the Sunshine State, as the border is soon to open on December 17 or earlier. We'll bring with it a heap of risk factors around COVID-19 in the Delta variant, and we're discussing vaccine hesitancy and vaccine needs here in Queensland, particularly for our mob today in the Torres Strait Islands. And I'm speaking to a bit of a legend up there in Thomasina, ma'am. How are you, Auntie?
Good, thanks.
Could you just do us a favour, first of all, that for those of us that don't know you, can you please give yourself an introduction and where you're from and who your mob is?
Okay. So my name, Danny, is Thomasina Wang. I'm from Brisbane originally. I was born and raised in Brisbane. And my mob on my mum's side is Kukuyulangi, but my great-grandmother and great-grandmother were taken to Palm Island back in the day.
Yeah.
So I regard myself as a Bulgarman, and with the connection to country being Kukuyulangi. That's on my mum's side. And then on my dad's side, Torres Strait, my dad's from St. Paul on Mull Island. But my grandfather, my grandparents are from Mabyuk and Murray Island. So got the best of East and West and Aboriginal and Torres Strait background. But I was born and raised in Brisbane. I've been living up in the Torres Straits for the last 8 years on Hammond Island, beautiful Hammond Island.
Yep.
And so that's where I currently live and work. But I've been and currently serve on a board in Brisbane, so I'm on the medical centre board down there. But I'm a specialist director, so I have there because of special skills or that I have for that makeup of the board. So I bring to the board the knowledge and the cultural knowledge and values of Torres Strait Islanders. So that's why I'm on the board there in Brisbane.
Yeah, so important, Nat. So important what you do.
Yeah, but I am aware of a lot of... I worked in Queensland Health up here in the Torres Strait for most of the time that I've been here. And I've been involved in the delivery and the rollout support on the ground in regards to COVID. So I guess I can talk to you about my involvement.
Yes, please.
And encouraging people to get the COVID shots that are available to us. And I suppose as an Indigenous community, we're always going to be, with the introduction of social media and that, we're open to seeing some of the... I see some of the things on social media and I figure, well, I'm doing my part to protect myself and my family and my children and my grandchildren. And, you know, that's where I'm coming from and encouraging people. You know, and just small places, communities like our communities up here in the Torres Strait, just one case can easily wipe out a whole community. So, you know, that's why I'm extremely cautious and protective of who comes and who goes.
Yeah. And how is it up there, the feeling around COVID-19 the last couple of years? Because to the north, you guys have Papua New Guinea. To the south, obviously, the state of Queensland, where it's been very low risk in terms of COVID-19 for you guys, that side. But obviously, the Papua New Guinea side is a completely different story. But how is the
leadership in the Torres Strait and I guess in the Cape have been very strong about who comes into the community. So, you know, things have been put in place to ensure that we're protecting, you know, that the community is protected, basically. And, of course, the rollout of COVID, slow to take off with, but, you know, with a lot of misinformation that's around, whether it's social media or on the radio or, you know, in the newspapers and that, you know, slowly people are coming around to taking that step and being protected and getting the vaccinations.
Why were people saying they were hesitant up there for, Aunt? I mean, you know, we've heard lots of different things around Queensland, but in particular for Torres Strait, what has been the issues around hesitancy in getting the vaccination up there?
I think it's about the not knowing and what we have been encouraging on the ground and through the through health is to talk to the professionals, people are frightened because of the things that they've seen on social media. So, you know, I've been just encouraging people to talk to their local doctors or their health workers if they feel comfortable talking to the health workers. And I think that's what's been the encouraging thing is that we've got Indigenous people on the ground talking to our own mob. About the COVID, and that's been the, I think that's been the improvement in, from what I see, just on our own little community here. So we've got a really, we've had an increase, in people, coming forward and getting, the vaccination. And just last week we've had the, Queensland Health come in again, and I've had the booster, which is the third shot.
Oh, really?
And I hope that's going to be the last one because, you know, the first two shots, I didn't have much of a reaction on my arm. But the third shot, the booster that I got was I had a swollen arm for 2 days afterwards.
Oh, really? That's really interesting.
The first two shots, but at least I know I'm protected, or I've got a better chance of dealing with COVID should it hit the Torres Straits.
Yes,
that's or should I pick up something down south because I'm always going home to where my home is in Brisbane. So, you know, I've got to go back there to see my family, my children, and my grandchildren.
Yes.
So, you know, there's always a risk there, but at least I know I'm protected to that extent that, you know, if touch wood, should anything happen, at least I know I've got a better chance of fighting it because I've been vaccinated.
Yeah, that's right. And it's really interesting because everyone has different signs and symptoms, if you like, of when they do get the jab. I mean, I'm very similar to you, Aunt, in that I had the first jab I got, I had a bit of a sore arm the next day. And that lasts about 1 day. The second jab, I didn't get anything, no signs or symptoms, didn't feel tired like I did the first one. And I'm due for my third booster next month, so it's great to hear that.
I had the booster and we've been in pain for like 3 days. My arm was like, not in pain, but it was just very sensitive.
Yeah.
And
that's really interesting.
And it was worse than the first two. So, but, you know, that small uncomfortable position that I was in is better than, you know, I've seen on the media and on television of people who are suffering from COVID, the effects of COVID. And if it means that I have a sore arm for 3 days, at least I know that I've got a better chance.
Yeah, it's better than being on a ventilator for 3 days, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's what I figure. And, you know, and I guess to me it's just about, you know, we look at what happened, like I've got a big scar on my left arm from the TB shot when I got it when I was 13 years of age, first year of high school.
Yep.
What do you get? Everyone gets the TB shot. So, you know, I've got a big scar on my arm that's a result of that. You know, we all get the flu shot every year because it's a different strain of flu. And I guess COVID will be similar, like, you know, it's something that we're going to have to live with for the rest of our lives, like the flu, like the measles, like the mumps, like everything, chickenpox,
yep.
You know, all those things that, you know, were You know, back in the day before you and I were most probably born, all those things happened.
But, yeah, that's right.
You know, we're still, you know, we're still around to talk about it because we've had shots and our parents have been immunized and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's just, you know, I just think that I'm doing my bit to protect the community, but also, you know, for my children and my grandchildren.
Yeah, and I mean, the Torres Strait's a very Christian area as well. Is religion a factor with vaccination at all?
I'd say, like, there's... Because in the Torres Strait, the gospel was introduced here in 1871.
Yep.
That's the Anglican, but now we have so many different churches up here. We've got the Baha'i faith, we've got Muslims, we've got, you know, all the different AOG groups, as well as the Anglican, the Catholic Uniting, and Seventh-day Adventists, and, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess it's what we've been conditioned to believe. Some people are more open-minded, I guess, like myself.
Yep.
I'm pretty much open to all different groups of Christianity. And just like this, you know, the vaccination, I just figure I'm just doing my part to protect myself and my children and my family. So that's the way I see it. And I know that... I know that there's different versions of the COVID and what it can and what it can't do.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, I just hope that common sense prevails and we just do what we think is right. If you don't want to get the vaccine, then don't get the vaccine. You're not forced to. But if you you know, and should you. And I hope not, but should you get the COVID virus, then, you know, that's the consequences that you have to live with.
Yeah.
And I think until such time as people, and I don't know about that place down New South Wales there, whether that has encouraged people to come forward and get their vaccination, that outbreak that they had down in, where is it, West Daniel?
Moree, that was my community, yeah. We've had
around there,
up over 200 cases and all Aboriginal.
Yeah, and that's why I figure until such time as something, but don't leave it till something dramatic as that happens, you know. Be preventative and proactive and, you know, don't be shame, be game, as once used to be a saying back in the days, don't be shame, be game, step up.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. Because in some parts of the Torres Strait, the vaccination rates are extremely high.
Yeah. I think we're over the 70% mark here. If not, we must be close to 90 here by now. I'm not too sure. I'm just waiting for the results of last week. We had a pretty good turnout for our community is of about 300 here.
Yep.
And I'm talking to you as a community member, not in any position.
Yes, yeah.
But, you know, I know that we had a good turnout just for, and that was because we had one of our local health workers who's married into the family here go around door knocking and talking to people, just talking to them and relaying some of those fears that they have. So
that's so good to hear.
We had, you know, qualified people here to go through and, you know, the same with us. Like when I went, they went through and, you know, we had to fill out this questionnaire to make sure that everything's okay and they checked us out and before they gave us the shot. But, you know, it was by choice. So, you know, no one's forcing people, but it's in your best interest to get it done.
Yeah, and it's just so good to hear that local, you know, local health workers going around and having real conversations with mob and it's steering, I guess it steers away from all that misinformation on social media that we see, but I think, and that's a real...
We had local health workers and local qualified nursing staff, so I guess that was the big difference this time around, that we had qualified nursing staff there. And we had a Koori lady too. She's a Koori nurse, but she lives in Cairns, I think.
Yep.
But she was in the team too, but she's a Koori.
Yeah, right.
You know, she was here, so that's
we won't hold that against her.
But I'm a Blues supporter, so I'm my best in.
I think most of the Torres Strait are, actually. I've been up there a few times.
You know, that's the good thing, is that we're getting more qualified nursing staff. And, you know, we've had doctors, Indigenous Torres Strait doctors up here as well. So, you know, that's the good thing about the COVID rollout here, is this last rollout they had Indigenous qualified staff on the ground supporting and encouraging people.
And for the,
only for Hammond.
Yeah, and for the more remote islands around the East and West Islands, I mean, it sounds like they're doing an amazing job, the health system up there, and getting into these islands and getting the message out.
With limited support and resources, they do a great job. That's the one thing that I've witnessed up here, is that, you know, their resources are limited, and and that impacts, I guess, on the scope of practice up here. But they make do with what they've got, and that's the beauty of what I see. Island communities, getting behind things and, you know, supporting the best way they can.
Yeah, because, I mean, does Papua New Guinea represent a threat in terms of COVID-19? Because I know it's probably...
Well, Papua New Guinea is only a stone throw away
from Saibai,
Western groups. So, obviously, we've had border force patrolling all the time, and there's a strong connection, especially with those top Western groups with New Guinea. So a lot of them haven't been able to see family because of the restrictions in place and the movement. But as you know, borders are going to be opening up soon. So, but I understand that border force is still patrolling. So, there's things still in place. But there's close relationships between New Guinea and coastal communities, Torres Strait communities.
Yeah, and that must be hard culturally for a lot of families.
Yes, it is. They've, a lot of them wouldn't have been able to see family since the border shut down, 2019, I think it was, COVID-19. Yeah.
Yep. But just in terms of vaccination rates up there, I know previously you said some areas are really high, but generally, what's the vaccination rates up there like?
I know they're around 70. Well, they were around 70%.
Yeah.
But I know that they were on the increase. So I'm just trying to locate some information that I had here. But I know that.
I was just thinking, there's some islands that are doing. Maybe better than others and whatnot in terms of those rates, then we can sort of, you know, have a chat to some of those islands
different islands it's been on the increase. So, you know, obviously the good word is getting out to people, and, you know, that's everyone's basic human right they have a choice whether they want to or not. But, you know, you do that with knowing the information, and that's the most important thing, is about the information that's available.
Yeah, because you guys have got...
As long as the people are getting getting their vaccinations and that, they're aware of what they're being vaccinated with.
Yeah,
So, for example, I've just got some local information update now through the Torres and Cape Hospital and Health Service records, and that's available to everyone. It's not like it's Secret Service stuff, but it's available to everyone about the COVID vaccination rollout. The update as of the 12th of November, so that's pretty much reliable. So, total vaccinations for Torres and Cape is 22,266. Fully vaccinated in the Torres and Cape is 50%.
Wow. Wow.
So that's still a bit low.
Yep.
But when you look at the individual communities like Satia, in the first that are fully vaccinated is in the second dose is 61%. So if you look at Bamaga, the first dose is 50% and second dose is 41%.
Yeah, right.
But Torres Strait seems to have a better, like on Kubin, which is a small community on Moa Island, they've got 83% first dose, 72% the second dose. Where I'm living, Hammond Island, we've got 81% first dose and 70% second dose.
That's great. That's great.
So that's just to give you an idea. And our community would be up around the 300 people in our community, roughly around 300.
Yep, so we've got about 3 or 4 weeks to try and get people that second dose. So before the Delta variant.
I know they're coming out again around about the 26th.
Yep.
Of November, the COVID team's coming out again for another rollout. So they are trying to do their best, but you know it's just.
Well, they're doing a good job. I'll tell you what, because it's so hard. Like everyone thinks the Torres Strait, it's just a little small group of islands very close together, but it's completely stretched out up there, the Torres Strait Islands, and it does take a lot of resources and infrastructure to get out to the islands and roll this out. So what a job.
Yeah, it's very expensive to travel,
yep.
In the Torres Straits, and that's why our resources are always limited because of the travel and the cost factor, which I believe shouldn't be taken into account. You know, it's the need, and the need that because they're so remote, you know, from the mainland, you can drive and you can train it, you can bus it, you can drive it, but here we only got one way in and one way out, and that's by plane.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and we take the risk of travelling by our tinnies. So, that's the other issue.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so expensive is because of the transport in the Straits.
Yeah, that's right, the old Ford and Holden tinny. But, you know, like Torres Strait faces a number of challenges, particularly around climate change. So as soon as we can get this COVID-19 and this vaccination under control, it allows our people to focus back on those real issues of climate change and looking after our culture and country.
It's important to have, our local health workers and that, you know, for the language, break down the language barrier.
Yes.
You know, and the understanding, articulating the information to community and comprehending the community to be able to comprehend the information that's been given to them. And I think, you know, that plays a part in the vaccination is the dissemination of the information and how it's articulated to people in the communities.
Yeah, that's
English is most probably their second or third language.
Yeah, that's right.
In most communities,
and that's so important to understand. They aren't like you might speak language up there. You got Creole, you got the East and West language groups, and then you know we're all trying to speak English in the middle of it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's about comprehending that English as well.
Yes,
you know, so that's why it's so important to utilize our Indigenous staff, you know, on the ground.
Yeah.
And that's been, I guess, for us, that's been part of the success for us here. So we're like the third from the top. So Kubin is first with 83% first doses, 72%, like I said, second dose, followed by Murray Island, which is 82% have had the first shot. And 64% have had the second shot. Hammond, we've got 81% with the first dose and 70% with the second dose. So we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. And sort of, you know, I know what's coming from Moree, so it's really good to hear you. Just lastly, is there anything else that you'd like to add, any advice you'd like to give to Torres Strait mob, something you'd like to say around COVID-19 and vaccination?
Only that, don't be frightened. Don't let fear be the reason why you don't get vaccinated. There's people there you can talk to. We've got our own island health workers, our own island nurses, whether they may be male or female, there's always someone to talk to and ask the question. Don't let fear be the thing that puts you off getting the vaccination, which, you know, can either save your life or can, you know, assist with not being affected to the extent if you didn't get vaccinated. But at the end of the day, everyone has a choice. And so you choose to either be vaccinated and protect people around you, our elders, you know. All it takes is for one case to come into our community that could possibly wipe us out for those that aren't vaccinated, you know. So, that's the only thing I encourage is find out for yourself firsthand. Find out, you know, all the information before you make a decision or you choose not to.
Yeah, and that's great advice and very real and practical advice. Arnie Thomasina, thanks for your time today. And thanks for
no worries, Denny.
Thanks for speaking to us about vaccination and COVID-19 in the Torres Strait. A very real and needed discussion. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, no worries. Take care. Bye.
Bye. The Make the Choice Podcast.